and it's time to hear from more of your comments. Enough already was the message in many of your emails this week. You complained that we went overboard in our reporting on Dick Cheney's accidental shooting of a friend while hunting. Maris Berzins of Redmond, Washington writes, "Please respect the friend's privacy and let him heal in peace. Stop trying to turn every issue into some kind of conspiracy."
What next? Adds Kevin Grierson of Hampton, Virginia. Minute-by-minute updates from outside the hospital? Cheney may be a curmudgeon, but given the feeding frenzy this story has inspired, it's hard to blame him for not wanting to talk to the press.
And we got this suggestion from Rick Stubbe of New Tripoli, Pennsylvania, who writes, "If you need to mention the story, why not report on someone else who has accidentally shot a friend? Find out if they wanted to tell the world about it."
We have these corrections now. We mistakenly put some extra zeros into a story about the reaction to offensive cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. Those cartoons were first published in Denmark, and in reporting on a boycott of Danish goods, we said that one Danish exporter to the Middle East was losing roughly $200 million a day. Wrong. We should have said that company, Arla Foods, was losing nearly $2 million a day.
And in our extensive coverage of the TV hit American Idol, we said the show was referred to as homophobic by the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. That organization says it never actually used that word to describe American Idol, though the group has voiced concern over how the program has mocked certain contestants.
And to other stories now, last week we ran a report about the ongoing debate over affirmative action at the University of Michigan. Here's the school's president, Dr. Mary Sue Coleman, defending their efforts to recruit minorities to apply to the school.
Everybody instantly assumes that if I didn't get in, if I'm white, if I didn't get in, it's because some minority took my spot. In 98% of the cases, another white person took that spot.
That report brought this comment from Richard Whittington, who teaches medicine at the University of Pennsylvania.
I'm reminded of a story about a coach who has two athletes try out for a team and finds they're running nearly the same time. One runs with great form, and the other runs with terrible form. The coach takes the athlete with terrible form because he knows he can train that athlete to be a star. Isn't that really the foundation of affirmative action, to select people for their potential? If I see potential in a student from an urban school who had to work part-time to support a family or had other disadvantages, shouldn't I be allowed to select that student over a student from the suburbs who had every advantage?
Finally, Ethan Morgenstein of Kalamazoo, Michigan, wrote to compliment Steve, on your daring on-air demonstration of the new Gillette 5-blade razor. He writes, "Steve brought a fine sense of wonder and humor to stubble removal. Way to go, Steve," he writes. "You're a man of wise whiskers and razor-sharp wit."
Very kind sentiments, which are not shared by Jennifer Wyckoff of Peabody, Massachusetts. She writes that when the demonstration was over, her 7-year-old commented, "That's the funniest advertisement I've ever heard." She continues, "I started to tell him there are not commercials on NPR, but then I couldn't. He was right."
Whether you're old enough to shave or not, we appreciate all your comments on Morning Edition. To get in touch, go to npr.org and click on Contact Us.